welcome to Sounds of the Bizarre, live from Blankenberger, live from the Tackle Course, Blankenberger in Belgium. Hooray. Thank you. We've got a great show lined up for you today on Sounds of the Bizarre. First of all, I'm going to hand you over to my co-host on this afternoon's show, to Audrey, who's going to tell you something about what we're doing in the beautiful place we're in here. Audrey.
Thanks, Graham. Hi. Can you hear me? We're coming from live from Blankenberg. So just to set the scene, we're about 20 miles from Bruges. So in Blankenberg itself, you can see the North Sea. Graham's giving me funny looks. You don't think it's 20 miles? Bruges? Well, 30 kilometres, 20
miles. Something
like that. Okay. We can see the North Sea from here, so we've had all types of weather. Yesterday we had hail, we had full seasons.
It was mad yesterday. It was totally crazy.
I know. So blistering is the word we've been bantering around our coffees as we're huddled in the corner. But today we've got fantastic sunshine. So just to set the scene, we're in the third floor of a school in Blankenberg. So it's a secondary, primary, and I believe a nursery school as well. So there's bike sheds, there's everything you expect from a school. And so our studio is from a schoolroom. So if you hear the school bells, just bear with us. We've got to be in order. For downstairs, they're learning physics, chemistry,
some things we
the
can't
usual.
Change in the studio.
Bringing back the memories. So if you hear the bells, it's not us being arrested. It's just the change of classroom. Are you going to tell us more about today?
Yeah, we've got a really good programme lined up for you. I mean, we've been working on this programme since about 9 this morning. People have been working in different groups, and it's been fairly chaotic and a lot of fun, a bit crazy. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a session. We've got one group doing a session on digital literacy for you, and that digital literacy is falling over to the next feature, which will be on digital identities. So I know there's a lot of people around Europe interested in digital literacies, interested in digital identities. And I think one of the good things I'm looking forward to, because I don't know the contents of these features, is that we got people from so many different cultures here. I think we got something like eight countries, something like more than that, 8 languages, 17 languages, I don't know how many. But it's going to be a fabulous programme. And between it all, we're going to be playing you some wonderful music. Audrey, can you tell us where the music's from? Because you know something about this music.
Okay, my son will kill me, but this is from his. He mixed it in my front room, actually. So he goes under the name of Undersounds. He produces this music, and he goes under the name of Pirate Radio. So you'll be hearing some of his
wonderful music. And now we're going to go into a musical break, and we'll be coming back to you talking to some of the participants on this course.
Bună ziua, mă numesc Roland Straub și vin din Timișoara.
Chamo Paula, venho de Beja, em Portugal, onde ensino adultos.
Hallo, mein Name ist Jan und ich komme aus Berlin in Deutschland.
Olá, sou Jorge, de Portugal.
Mă numesc Adelina Sporea și sunt din București, România.
Eu sunt Galina Ivanova, de Bulgaria.
You're listening to Sounds of the Bizarre live internet radio. Sounds, the sounds of the bizarre. And welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that short music break. I love that music. We've had it playing here all afternoon. And now we're going to look at digital literacies. And I'm handing over to Hilda, who's going to be presenting this section of the program.
Today, we are talking about digital literacy. Not all people in Europe have access to the internet. 42% have no internet connection, so it is difficult for them to develop their digital literacy. Countries where almost everyone has access to the internet are the Scandinavian ones. In those countries, more than 80% of the people have access. On the other hand, there are the countries with less than 50% has access to the internet. For example, Portugal, Romania, Turkey, and Bulgaria. In each country, the government realizes that this is a problem and that they have to do something about it. Getting everyone online is a goal for every country from north to south. Nowadays, there are a lot of projects and programs running in different countries and different fields to increase digital access and literacy. In the next few minutes, we will focus on three countries where at the moment the access to the internet is quite limited and see which actions they have taken or will take in the future to improve the situation. First, we will talk about Portugal. So let me introduce my Portuguese friend, George.
Hi, thank you very much. Well, I would say that in Portugal we have started the process a few years ago to promote ICT in schools. First, in the 90s, there was Minerva program aimed at teachers' training to give teachers skills in ICT, mostly the Microsoft Office tools like Word, Excel and else. Then, from 2004 to 2006, we integrated the European e-learning program of promoting digital literacy, European virtual campi, and transversal actions. In 2007, a protocol between the Portuguese government and Microsoft was enabled the population in general to have access to several digital courses from the website www.literaciadigital.pt, certifying their technological know-how. Later, maybe in 2008, the Portuguese government designed and implemented a program called Plano Tecnológico de Educação, in English, Technological Plan for Education, which aimed at placing Portugal among the five most digitally advanced countries in Europe in 2010. This program has several sub-programs for different areas, as a Escolinha, which consists in giving all students in primary school low-cost netbooks for kids. We call them Magalhães. There was also a Escola, which provided laptops for with internet for teachers, students who attend grammar and high school, and also the trainees of adult education program Novas Oportunidades. This program provided also classroom equipment with interactive whiteboards and video projectors. And there is also a project which is happening yet to train all and certify all teachers in ICT competences. In parallel, Portuguese schools are also participating in the e-twinning platform and other European programs. Well, I think these are the main activities in Portugal related to the promotion of the digital literacy. Thank you.
Thanks, George, for these interesting words. Now we will listen to Galina from Bulgaria.
Hello. 4 years ago, the Bulgarian educational system started a project to train teachers in ICT. First, 600 instructors from all areas of education were trained. I'm one of these trainers. I trained 200 teachers in ICT, in Bulgarian literature, but also methods of e-learning. For these projects, Bulgarian teachers received free internet at home. Big schools who participated in the project in ICT got laptops for all the teachers. Currently, the Ministry of Education concluded the electronic course to train teachers in using social software. The teacher learned to create a domain name for their school, learned to work with social software, and learned to create own block. Both projects are supported by the European Social Fund and Bulgarian government. Thank you.
Thanks, Galina, for your contribution. Now we will listen to Silvia from Romania.
Hello. Well, Romania is in the process of developing digital literacy as well. I will talk about two projects, one for schools, another one for the communities. The Advanced Learning Educational Project was developed by the Ministry of Education and an IT company. This project has been providing modern online teaching facilities to more than 4,700 schools all over the country. The second project will set up knowledge centers offering citizens information and online services. About 250 rural and small urban communities will benefit from the local communities' electronic networks. The project was initiated by the Ministry of Communication and the World Bank.
Thanks, Silvia, for sharing the information with us. We see that there are a lot of initiatives to improve internet access and literacy. Will these programs and projects get everyone online and close the digital gap? Or not? The future will tell us.
Thank you, Hilde. That was really good, informative information, and also from four different perspectives. You know, it's really good to hear groundwork on the field, so to speak. So right for now, we're going to have a musical break. So join us after the break.
Mi chiamo Anna Rosa, sono un'insegnante di scienze naturali in una piccola cittadina, Codogno, vicino a Milano.
Goedenavond, mijn naam is Hilde en ik kom van uit België.
Olá, chamo Ana e venho de Lisboa, em Portugal.
Olá, sou a Nália, de Portugal.
Hallo, ik ben Lien en ik kom uit België.
Anca Gabriel de România.
You're listening to Sounds of the Bazaar live internet radio. Sounds, the sounds of the bazaar.
I just love that jingle. That's the voice of Graham Atwell. We didn't have to do anything to his voice. No reverb, no nothing. The man's got the deep voice. So I'll hand you over now to George. He's going to be speaking about digital literacy.
Well, this morning, some people have been working on digital identities. We have to put the question, what do you mean about digital identities? In fact, every one of us who has an online presence projects an identity. Many people project more than one. Some identities may be open or transparent,
some others may be completely anonymous. There are all sorts of reasons people choose to keep their identities hidden. We are going to ask some of the teachers in this group why they have multiple identities. The first question is, how many digital identities do you have? We'll start from Anna.
Hi, everyone. I have two identities, one for work as a teacher with an email account, a Moodle page, a blog about books and cultural events, and the second one for my private life, for my family and friends. For example, my page in Facebook with personal photos, music, and my hobbies, with my other interests in life.
Thank you very much, Anna. We'll follow with Analia.
Well, I use the email, but with different digital identities. An institutional one, one for each class, and a personal one. I use Moodle too. I have a space for the department and another for teachers who work in adult education.
Well, very good. What about you, Rolly?
Thank you. Well, I use multiple identities. I think I have three email addresses at least. And, you know, I have an account on Facebook, Twitter, I have a blog, one on Flickr. And I use them for various reasons. Maybe I have an email only for the newsletters from various internet websites. And then I use Flickr for just mainly uploading pictures about also about Blankenberge, and then Facebook to stay in contact with my friends and family, and Twitter just to post some things that I'm just doing in the moment.
Oh, that's fine. And Hilde, what do you think about it?
I have two identities. I have one identity that's real, that's really me, and I do the stuff with family, but also work, etc. And I have one identity I use to do stuff that are not always allowed, so nobody knows me, and I can do it anonymously. Normally, I download programs or music or stuff like that with that identity, but I'll stop talking about it.
Okay, very well. And last, and for last, we have Belmira.
Thank you. Well, I have four multiple identities. Two of them are professional. One is addressed to my colleagues who are also teachers because I am the school projects coordinator. So I write and I upload and post messages in Portuguese. Then I have another one in English for all my students. Then I have one identity that is social, for example, Facebook, Twitter, and so on. Twitter is quite recent. In fact, it was yesterday, I believe. And another, which I like to call emotional, because I only use it with family and friends.
There's a lot of identities, as you can see. The second question I want to put is, what do you use different identities for? And it's from Anna again.
Because we have different lives, we must have different identities. As I said before, one for work and another for my family, for my private life. I don't want to mix two different worlds.
Mm-hmm. That's a good reason, I think. What about you, Anali?
To have privacy and for the organizational matters.
Sounds good. What about you, Rolly?
Okay, well, as some of my colleagues already stated, we use our different identities mainly for professional and on the other side for personal reasons. Personal reasons, sharing memories, sharing ideas, sharing articles with our friends, families, and colleagues. And, you know, maybe professional for we as teachers for activities, ideas in teaching, anything that goes with teaching and learning also.
Okay, very well. What about you, Hilde?
I use two because I want one identity to be anonymously. that's important, and the other one not, so that's why I have needed two identities.
And the same for you, Belmira?
I believe that each identity has a deliberate purpose, and according to the purposes I want to give to it, then I use either the professional, the social, or the emotional. Yes, they don't mix.
Okay, very well. I have a third question. It's about if there are any dangers concerning to multiple identities. I will ask to Roland what he thinks about that.
Okay, well, dangers are only if are only present if you don't manage your identities as you should. So, for example, you have to make sure that your privacy settings are set as they are supposed to be. So, for example, you don't get any problems that some of the people with Facebook had this year. Other dangers that might appear may be with students if we as teachers don't tell them from the beginning how to manage their identities, to watch out maybe not to meet with some people online that they just met on Messenger or on Google Talk without having seen them in real life. So there are some dangers, but they can be avoided with proper management.
I think that too. What about you, Hilde? What do you think about it?
I don't think there's great danger if you're aware of the dangers. So when you manage them properly, like Roland said, I don't think there's really a danger for adults. Maybe for kids they are, but the kids nowadays are, maybe they are realizing more what the problems are with the identities than the adults. So I don't think it's really a problem.
Okay. Do you want to say something about this, Belmira?
Yes. I believe that even the young learners, young teenagers, or even children, those who have access to social networks, yes, if I believe they don't need the parental supervision if they are aware of all the implications that are related to it. If they are conscious of it, then I believe there will be no problem.
Okay, thank you very much for your interesting statements. Well, summing up, having a digital identity is projecting yourself through technology. It is up to you to decide if you want to be completely transparent or completely anonymous. However, you must be sure you are aware of its consequences.
Thank you very much for that. Great feature on digital identities. Live from Blankenberger, live from the tackle course, live from Belgium, live from the seaside, live internet radio. And we're going into another musical break now, and we'll be back with Paula, I think, who's going to be talking some wonderful people here.
Mehmet Erdem, Türkiye.
Silvia Popovici din Iași, România.
Catherine McRae from Scotland. Boa tarde, chamo-me Elmira e venho de Castelo de Paiva, Portugal.
Jen Hughes do Ilgamri.
You're listening to Sounds of the Bazaar live internet radio. Sounds, the sounds of the bazaar.
Welcome back, everybody, our listeners. So now we've got a feature from some of our group here, and it's going to talk about the educational perspective and the application people are going to give after the course. So I'm going to hand you over to Paolo, who's going to interview some people.
Hello, good afternoon. So I've got with me Belmira, Mehmet and Adelina. So I've got some questions to ask. So I'll start with Belmira. Belmira, tell us, where do you work and what do you do?
I work in a large group school in Castelo de Paiva, Portugal, and I'm an English teacher, and I work with kids from the 8th grade, 9th and 11th grade.
And what kind of technology is mostly used in your institution?
Well, I believe that the practice of using ICT tools are really updated. We use the Moodle platform, we have a school website. We also use computers, video projectors, multimedia kits, CD players and recorders, interactive whiteboards, DVD players, among others.
So you use a lot.
Yes.
So how do you think that the knowledge and experience you've acquired here will change the way you work?
I believe that it has broadened my view on how to approach a specific topic in order to make it more appealing to learners, to my students. I believe that I will also use varied Web 2 applications, and it will certainly improve my teaching activity, and I will certainly share the knowledge and all the experience I had here with my colleagues.
Okay, thank you. So we'll be willing to have those experiences. Okay, now back to Mehmet. So Mehmet is from Turkey. Mehmet, tell us, where do you work and what do you do?
I work at a primary school in Malatya. My city is on the east part of Turkey, and I teach religious cultures and ethics.
Okay, and what kind of technology is mostly used in your institution?
In my school, we have a computer classroom for students, and the access to the internet is free. We use projectors, televisions, VCD players, etc. And I have my own classroom in this school. And there is a computer linked to television. I prepare PowerPoint presentations about my teaching subjects. I get music, short videos, comics and cartoons about my lessons. And show them to my students. I teach religious culture. When I want to teach a religious ritual, for example, instead of talking, I show a video about this, and I think this is more effective than talking about it.
Yes, it sounds interesting. So how do you think that all the knowledge and all the experience that we have shared here and acquired will change the way you work now?
During the course, we have learned a lot about wikis, podcasting, sharing sites, Google Docs and forms. Especially I have learned the using of Movie Maker to make videos and sharing images and videos via internet. I think after arriving my school, I will prepare my own videos and show them to the students and share my works with other colleagues. And that's all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mehmet. Now we're with Adelina. Adelina is from Romania, and she'll be telling us about where she works and what she does.
Hello. I'm a research scientist, but in the meantime, I'm working for an educational center we developed at our institute, the Center for Science Education and Training. I'm a trainer for the science teachers of primary and middle schools. I'm teaching them in what is so-called the inquiry-based science education.
Okay, and what kind of technology is mostly used there?
Besides the face-to-face courses, I'm using the e-learning methods, which I find very useful. For instance, I've set up a Moodle platform to be accessed by the teachers from all over the country. This is really a great advantage, considering the possibility this software offer to be at a great distance from the teacher, but in the meantime, to be close to him, giving him assistance at any moment. The platform contains educational modules, and teachers are using them in their day-to-day work in the classroom.
Okay, so how do you think that all the knowledge that we have shared here and the good practices, will those change what you do now?
For me, it was really a very useful course. A very good one, very well covering a wide range of topics from image or voice processing to copyright issues. We learned both from our teachers and from our colleagues. All the knowledge I have acquired concerning podcasting, for instance, I shall apply for sure, and I intend to improve our educational modules in the Moodle platform with experiments presented as video and audio examples.
Thank you so much, Adelina. Thank you, Mehmet. Thank you, Belmira. So live from Blankenberg still.
We are. We're still here on air, and don't go away because we've got lots more. We're running for about another 10 minutes live from Blankenberger. Sounds of the Bazaar, sounds of the internet, internet radio, all the best in educational sounds. Okay, we're moving into another musical break.
To Sounds of the Bazaar live internet radio. Sounds, the sounds of the bazaar.
And we're back on here on live internet radio. A big shout out here actually for Jan, who's been doing the techie today. I think it's the first time he's ever done internet radio show. Yay! And he's sitting there behind two computers with all kinds of programs. He's doing a brilliant job for us today. And on this course, there's two of us sort of running this course, myself, Graham Atwell, my old friend and colleague, Jenny Hughes. And I'm passing you over to Jenny, who's going to say a few words now.
Hi, this is Jenny Hughes, Grisly Blankenberg. Just had to put the Welsh plug in there somewhere. We've been working for 4 days with people from all over Europe, lots of different languages, but Wales is not represented other than by the shortest, smallest person in the group. So I'm just putting Wales on the map, okay? So, Groeso I Gymru. Okay, I'm actually being given the microphone, I suspect, to fill the last couple of minutes, and there's a bell going. This isn't dubbed over. This isn't the special effects that we specially played. This is to prove that we really are in a school building. I've been working here with Graham this week. On Monday, I was so stressed. 40 cigarettes before lunchtime, no problem. The technology didn't work, the room didn't work, I wasn't working. But guess what? As 4 days later, I'm feeling pretty relaxed about it because as time has gone on, I've done less and less teaching, and the participants on this course have done more and more of it. So they're stressed today, and I'm feeling great. But I'm going to go around and talk to some of them, just some quick impressions. Rolly, what was the highlight of the course this week?
Well, for me, the highlight of the course when I learned about learning by walking, something like that, which I found really I find really great because you can use video podcasting for that, and you know, and also meeting so many different people and making so many different friends. I think this was just great.
Brilliant. And for you, which one thing will you take away with you from this course?
All the web applications, all the new ones that I learned. And I wasn't aware of them.
Okay, have you got one or two that you'd like to recommend to the listeners?
Wordling.
Wordling.
Yes.
You wordled?
I will.
Can you tell people what that is?
Well, we make a list of all the vocabulary that we relate to a specific topic, and then we select them, and by using the software, we make sort of, it is more or less like a brainstorming, but visually it is quite effective.
Okay, great. And what did you do with it afterwards?
I will use it, for sure, in my teaching activity.
That's brilliant. And you can see examples of the Wordles that were produced this week on the website.
On, of course, Pontardusky website, that is, www.pontardusky.org. And you can search there and you'll find the Tackle course where they've been putting all their work up this week. Fabulous area. Don't forget to check it out. Back to you, Jen.
Now, the other person that hasn't had a mention this afternoon is our floor manager, who probably had the hardest job of all. She's been getting Elsa since lunchtime. Do you want to tell us about it? Tell us who you are.
Adelina is my name.
How was it for you, Adelina?
My role was a little bit difficult because I had to prepare the whole program and to divide all the period of time we have to have the program in very small slots, and everybody has to know what they are doing, when is their turn to enter the emission.
And did they listen to you?
Yeah, sure.
How did you make yourself heard then?
No, they are very good colleagues and very professional persons.
Excellent. So you think it's a career for you, a new career, not teaching, but managing radio programs?
I'm not sure, but anyway, it's a wonderful experience.
Good. Yeah. Now I'm going to talk to somebody who really didn't want to do this. So, how are you going to celebrate the end of this course then?
Well, I think we're going to have a big party, right?
Am I invited? This is what
I
need to know.
Yeah, of course. And party like time. I'm from Belgium, so we'll drink some Belgian beers.
That sounds good to me. Okay, is there anybody else who wants to say anything at all? Because otherwise I'm going to pick on somebody else. Okay. There's a lady here with a camera. Lady here with a camera who's trying to get away from me, actually.
And there's no escaping Jenny Hughes.
Nothing stopping me when I start. Okay. Can you think of one thing that you did this week that you want to tell people about? Just one thing?
Talking English.
How hard has that been for you this week?
A little.
You're doing great.
Bit harder because I'm shy and I don't speak very well the language.
Fine. But have you understood most of what's been going on this week?
Yes.
Excellent.
And I think that's one of the fantastic things. I'm always thinking I'm lucky enough to work in my own language. And everybody here is working second or third languages. It must take incredible concentration, I can imagine, to spend a whole day, and especially a lot of nerve, coming live onto the radio, talking into another language. Thanks very much, Jen. We're going to go into a musical break now, and we're coming back. Oh, it's the school bell again, telling us we're moving towards the end. And we're coming back, and Audrey is going to be talking us out of the programme. Okay, over to Jan on the music. Fade us in, Jan.
Relation.
to Sounds of the Bazaar live internet radio. Sounds, the sounds of the bazaar.
Very much. Well, welcome back. So we're just really ending off the show right now. But what did you think, Graham? I was really interested in that social identities chat. You know, it just makes you think of all the fingerprints you leave behind on the web.
You certainly do. And this is another fingerprint we've left behind all over the web today from Blankenberg. I've been fascinated today. All day, the website's being hit by people from Belgium, so it seems this program's a bit viral over the internet. And I guess this is probably, I might be presumptuous saying it, the first ever internet radio program broadcast from Blankenberger. And it's been one hell of a lot of fun.
It has indeed. Yeah, I know, it's just a new social entropy, isn't it, almost, leaving all these social identities.
Okay, and Graham is going to have the final word, but Graham, you've been teaching here since Monday, and your thoughts now are...
My thoughts are, I'm right ready for a beer, but my thoughts are, this is a brilliant group, probably the best group I've ever talked with, to be honest. And I'll tell you the reason why. It's the sharing. I think it's absolutely incredible. Normally, you try and push people to start sharing between them. And from the first day, the people here have been sharing all the time. So yeah, Jen and me are supposedly the tutors on this programme. But the truth is, the real tutors are all the people on the course. And I've been learning huge amounts of things from them. And I think that's incredible and a really hopeful sign for the future.
Oh, I'm filling up, Graham. But we've got a lot of thank yous to do. We've got to, first of all, thank our floor manager, Adelina. Am I pronouncing that right?
It's correct. Adelina is my name.
Yay.
And I'll just quickly run through all the names again.
Rolly. Yeah, Rolly.
Hilda.
And Alia.
Paula.
Mehmet.
Belmira.
George.
Sylvia.
Catherine.
Lean.
Anna.
And finally?
And the Rosa.
Oh, thanks
and
so much.
And we've still got a couple left here.
Look at this, hiding in the background.
Gabriel.
And one more mile to the technician.
Jan.
Hey, thank you to all of you. Thank you all for a great program. You've been listening to Sounds of the Bazaar live on internet radio. Sounds of the Bazaar.